Welcome to the weekend, folks. The program is Killer Tunes. I'm your host, Ross Nielsen. Thanks for tuning in. This is Levon Helm with Ophelia, recorded live at the Ryman Auditorium. Yes, that is the one and only legendary Levon Helm and the Ramble Band. Of course, the band takes its name from the midnight rambles that Levon would host at his barn in upstate New York, very, very near Woodstock, New York. Amazing, legendary performance and concert hall. I always regret never having made it down to see one of Levon's midnight rambles before he passed away. He had started doing the rambles, I think, initially when he was in trouble with the tax man and needed to raise some bucks to, I think he was fighting cancer at the time as well, and raised money to save his recording studio / home there in New York. I had the great privilege of visiting the barn in 2014. I was in, near Woodstock for a Steve Earle songwriting camp, and messaged Barbara, his amazing manager, to see if I could swing by and check it out. And she was very kind to oblige and gave me a tour, and it was very emotional. And I'm not going to lie to you, I teared up a little bit when I saw Levon's kit set up there, and it was just a very overwhelming experience. A lot of vibes in that room. For those of you who've been there and seen the Rambles or recorded there, perhaps you know it's a very important place. That is 2008's release, Live at the Ryman, is where that version of Ophelia is from. Smokin' Band Levon had with him at that point, and that's a great album, great live record, recorded, of course, the legendary Ryman Auditorium, home of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, and a lot of great guests. John Hyatt is on that one, Buddy Miller, some beautiful stuff on there, even a visit from Sheryl Crow, and they do an old Carter Family tune. It's very nice. Today's episode, I got a lot of horn bands, a lot of tunes with horns on it. I don't know how this happened or why, but that's what it ended up being. And so that's what I'm going to run with. Horns. It's a horny show today, ladies and gentlemen, if I may say so. you can't play a horn show without playing some James Brown. Am I right? It's going to get a little funky in here, folks. But before it gets funky, I'm going to do something. I don't think I've ever played two tracks from the same artist back to back on the program. And I'm going to do that now because I want you to see the difference. Sometimes an artist evolves so drastically throughout their career. James is one of those artists. When he first started out, it was kind of soul, almost doo-wop. And this first cut I'm going to play definitely has the flavors of doo-wop in it. You'll see. The song is called Maybe the Last Time. It was on an album from 1964 and listed under R&B and Soul at the time. Written by James under a pseudonym called Ted Wright for whatever reason. Really gospelly oriented, heavy vocal tune, recorded with the Famous Flames. Actually, the last recording he made with the Famous Flames, which was the vocal group that performed with James around that time. And they kept performing for a few years past that before James took a sharp turn into the land of funk, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout James's career, he evolves drastically, and at this point, it's a little R&B, and a few years later, he would find the one, the downbeat that would turn him and his career on its end into the realm of funk music. The second track I'm going to play clearly defines what I mean here. The first track is called It May Be the Last Time. The second track is called It's Too Funky in Here. It's too funky in here, people. James would know. If anyone knew how funky it was, he would know. If he says it's too funky, then it's too damn funky. Too damn funky. Recorded in 1979 in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. March 5th, to be precise. And this was originally released on an album called The Original Disco Man. I don't even want to know. And this version is a live version. I believe that this one is off a record called Live in New York, double live album. Really unbelievably smoking, funky, good. It's like such great James Brown stuff. Like, oh my God, there's not very much bad James Brown stuff, but this is really, really, really great. Recorded at Club 54, or Studio 54 in New York City, 1981, I believe this album came out, so it was probably recorded in 80 or early 81. Anyway, this, James went on to cultivate a lot of great musicians through his band, including some of the Collins boys, and even perhaps you know a fellow named Maceo Parker, who is a bit of a saxophone monster. He was in the J.B. Horns, one of the band leaders of the J.B. Horns, as well as Fred Wesley, who was just an incredible trombonist. I don't know if that's how you say that, trombonist, tromboner, trombonite, tromboner. Let's go with tromboner because that's fun. Anyway, James, a great band leader, just legendary performer, and of course legendary for being a hard ass on the band, finding them if they messed up. So here, folks, here we go. Well, I'm going to play this Maybe the Last Time and then right into Too Funky, and you can hear the difference 10, 15 years made in James's career, and what a difference it is. Both great songs, both great styles. Please enjoy.
Maybe the last time.
The last time.
And maybe the last time. You want to give your heart a little ease. And just about the time you get comfortable, the operator says signal when you're blue breeze. Oh, I don't know. And maybe the last maybe time.
The last time.
And maybe the
maybe
last time.
The last
I gotta
time.
Scream. And maybe the last time.
The last time.
Maybe the last time.
The last time.
Oh, I don't know. See them again. Hey, help me somebody. That may be the last time. I would like to tell you some more.
Nothing back.
Right? So now you know what I mean when I say too funky. Now you know what James means when he says it's too funky in here. I don't know. That song just gets my stuff going. Like, if you can listen to that and not wiggle around and not want to get up and dance and not, like, get into it, then you might be dead. Check your pulse, man. It's just some serious business. And you can really see the contrast in the two styles that James kind of orbited through during his career trajectory. That's a big word and hard to say without coffee. I need a hit. Oh, yeah. I've been, I'm recording here in the office in the plains, the flatlands of Canada, ladies and gentlemen. This is being recorded in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And as I look out the office window, it's a beautiful day. I have to keep the office window closed because there's so many damn birds in the backyard. It's honest to God, it's like a bird party out there. I don't know what they're doing, man, but they're having a good time in the backyard, like getting down in birdland. Should almost play some Charlie Parker for those crazy mofos out there. But I got to keep the window closed because we got to maintain an air of professionalism here, and we can't just be sitting around recording bird sounds all day, you know what I'm saying? I've been searching out the good coffees here in Saskatoon, and I'm pleased to say that I've found a couple. There's a place downtown called, Drift or something like that. The slowest service you could possibly want in a place, but man, they have good coffee and it's worth it. You just got to mentally prepare when you go in there that it's going to take 15 minutes to get a coffee. The coffee is called Road, is the name of the company, and my God, it's good. It's so dark. And more recently, I visited the Broadway Roastery right there on, you guessed it, Broadway Avenue, and had a lovely conversation with a gentleman in there about coffee, and they had a variety of really tasty dark beans, and I picked a dark Sumatra, and I'm enjoying that right now, and it's working, people, it's working. I was surprised, though, Mr. Coffee at Broadway Roastery didn't know what an AeroPress was. I don't know if all you tens of listeners out there that are tuned in right now to Killer Tunes, if you know what an AeroPress is. If you don't, and you think you're a coffee snob, I'm about to change your world. If you're listening in Fredericton, maybe you're tuned in to 95.7 FM The Wolf. You need to get on downtown. Go visit Johnny Java there on the corner of York and King Street, or visit my good peeps, my old neighbors at the Urban Almanac. I think they have the best coffee in Fredericton, arguably, with their hand-pulled AeroPress machine or hand-pulled espresso machine. Both of those joints sell AeroPresses. AeroPress is like a giant coffee syringe. High-pressured coffee device that makes one cup of espresso, and then you add water to it, whatever you want to do. And it is glorious. It will change your coffee life. You will never drink shitty coffee again because of this, or you'll never want to. You might have to on occasion, as I have. But today is not that day. I'm drinking good coffee. You should, too. Life's too damn long to drink crappy coffee. All right, sticking with the horns and the funk and the soul, we're going to spin a little J.J. Gray. You know, I could spin J.J. every episode. I love him that much. This is off an album called This River, recorded in 2013. And this song is called Standing on the Edge. Enjoy this. AJ Gray and Mofro right there doing it. I love that band. One of my favorites. JJ's such a fantastic performer, a great vocalist, great songwriter, amazing musician, and just a treat to watch as a front man. All right, folks, we're nearing the end of the first half here on Killer Tunes. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Ross Nielsen, recording in my office out in the flatlands of Canada, Saskatchewan, Saskatoon to be precise. And we're going out the first half with a super funky New Orleans man named John Cleary. He's actually a transplant, originally from Kent, England, has made a living studying and playing the music of New Orleans and Louisiana for the last, 20-some years. This is called So Damn Good, John Cleary and the Absolute Monster Gentlemen. Please enjoy.
I feel so damn good. I'll be glad when I got the blues.
Yeah.
Come on. And I feel so damn good. I'll be glad when I got the blues. Come on. And I'm so down being up. I'll be winning when I start to lose. Well, come on. Good ain't good enough. Got to have a little rough with the spoons. And lots to eat when I'm standing still. Then it's time to get up in the room. Wow, well, I like my sugar, little salty. I like a little bit.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ross Nielsen. You're tuned into the second half of Killer Tunes. That was Mr. Duff Doro. Duff Doro, what, like, I just discovered this guy via my good friend and mentor, Doc McLean. He had stopped in for a visit for a couple of days, and we were exchanging some tunes. And Doc spends a lot of time down in the southern states touring and whatnot, and someone hipped him to Duff Doro. Duff was from Rouville, Mississippi, I believe, where he lived and made his career. Didn't really travel outside of Mississippi, just did his thing. That tune was called Ain't So Peaceful in the Valley No More from an album released in 2012 called If It Ain't One Thing, It's Another. Amazing, amazing album, folks. You need to go to cdbaby.com and search Duff Doro, DuffDorough, and get this download of this album. It is everything I love in an album. Some great guitar playing, some great songwriting, some great band action, and well-recorded, and some of the most beautiful vocals, a real variety of vocal styles. Sometimes he's gruff and soulful. Other times he sounds like Roy Orbison. Sometimes the backup vocals sound like Jeff Lynne produced it. It is a fantastic record. Unfortunately, Duff passed on, I think at age 60, not too many years ago, folks. And as I was researching him, I was not surprised to learn that he did, in fact, know the legendary and late great Jim Dickinson, the High Priest of Memphis Music. And they, in fact, performed together from time to time. And Duff actually played at the first Jim Dickinson Legacy Memorial Show there in Overton Park in Memphis, Tennessee. And what a great writer, what a great singer, and one of those kind of unique gentlemen who made his career in his home state, didn't have to tour the United States, didn't have to, you know, go all over the world, just did his thing, as so many artists in the rural areas do. On that note, I would like to play some good friends of mine who, much like Duff, kind of stick to their roots, tour around their home area, a little bit outside, nothing crazy though. They're family men. They have many interests in the Wolfville area and Gaspereau Valley. Good guys, some of the best musicians I've ever met, great, great songwriters. And this is a song off of an album of theirs called Love Seat Volume 1. This is a tune called Cold Hard Ground. This is the Huttman Brothers Band.
I was born in the basement of a beat-up shack. Left home real early, and I never looked back. I never drank your wine,
I never stole your bread. I always held my fist in front of things I said. I never combed my hair. I never wore no tie. But it ain't no trouble be ever getting by. Won't call you miss. I won't call you sir. But I don't keep no list. I don't spread no slur. You might be born into thinking you got to weigh yourself down. Yeah. Well, I'll be happy sleeping out on the cold hard ground. Never comb my hair. I never wore no tie. But it ain't no trouble me ever getting by.
Right.
Now listen, and push a dirty tomcat off of my favorite seat. I never combed my hair. Well, I never wore no tie. But it proved no trouble with me ever getting by.
Take you home tonight. Oh, Mary Ann. make everything all right.
James and the Little Big Band from 1999's Little Big Band Volume 2 album. I believe that won Colin a Juno that year for Producer of the Year. Really, that was like the peak of the swing revival, which I believe is slowly coming around again. I see the Squirrel Nut Zippers, who were also huge at the time, have a new album out or are touring. That's, of course, Jimbo Mathis's band from Mississippi. Jimbo's a legendary Mississippian in his own right for performing and writing, a killer guitar player among other instruments. I saw Colin on that tour, the Little Big Band tour. I think I was about to get married that weekend, and we went to Flashbacks Nightclub in Kelowna to see them, and big Dave Tizowski, who was the Warner music rep at the time, took us back and introduced us to Colin. He was just a real gem of a man, real sweetheart, very nice guy, and of course, killer player, killer singer, had just a wonderful band. And that band featured the Webster brothers, Al Webster on Kit, and his brother Eric Webster on keys. Eric sadly has passed away recently, a major loss to the Canadian scene there. He was a truly talented musician. All right, folks, we're going to keep on trucking on. I'm going to play a bit of an obscurity. I discovered this band at Harvest Jazz and Blues Festival. I thought I had played them before on the show. I looked through my notes. I could not see them. This is a band called the Gamble Brothers. Memphis, Tennessee / Alabama-based band, a now defunct, but John Allen, Al Gamble, was the keyboard player for this band. They were, it was him and his brother, who was the drummer and a sax player and a bass player, and they were really great, and I picked up their album, and I listened to it much since then. This is a song called Love is Alive, and it's off of an album called Back to the Bottom, released in 2003. Fantastic soul-funk band from the South. I believe Al is now the keyboard player for a band called St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Maybe you've heard of those guys, a new soul band that's really fantastic. So without further ado, Love is Alive.
Help!
the Gamble Brothers, Love is Alive. Boy, oh boy, I remember vividly their performances at Harvest Jazz and Blues Festival. It was the year Katrina hit in New Orleans, and Kenny Neal was also a headliner that year, and his band couldn't make it. So Harvest put the Gamble Brothers and Kenny on stage together where they had never played together before. They just got together and jammed and rocked it out, and it was a really cool show. What a year that was for Harvest. In fact, I believe John Cleary, who I played earlier in the show, was also there that year, or maybe it was a couple years before that. Regardless, a long-standing history between Louisiana and specifically New Orleans and at Fredericton's Harvest Jazz and Blues Festival. Great exchange there among the festival and the arts in that area. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the end of another show, another program in the books. My name is Ross Nielsen. I am your host. I've been hosting today, yammering at you, yanging away via recording devices all the way out in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And however you're listening, whether it's on the interwebs at rossnielsen.com or 957thewolf.ca, or actually on your radio in Fredericton at 957 FM The Wolf, we appreciate your patronage. Thank you for listening. It's been a funky show. It's been horns. And at the very last minute, I have changed the programming for the end of the show. I was going to play a tune by JMO's Jazz Band featuring Junior Mack on guitar and vocals, but I'm bumping it, folks, not because it's not a great tune. It's an amazing tune, but I will play it at a later show. I have been thinking about, and I'm sure you have all been thinking about, the events of the past week in Florida, in Orlando, Florida. A lunatic went into a club and opened fire on humans and killed many. Of course, the headlines are horrible, ranging in terrible writing from things like ISIS support, Muslim, you know, murdered 50 gays, you know, gun assault rifle talk is, and I'm just riffing here, folks. This isn't, I didn't write this out. I'm just trying to talk through this because it's been a tough week. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough couple years for humanity. I don't know if you've noticed, but things are not good in humanity land. We're killing each other. We're buying weapons that you use to kill humans with, and we're going into public areas and we're targeting people because of the way they look, because of the way they talk, because of the people they love, because of their sexual orientation, because they're different. It's hard for me to process, folks. I'm having a very, very difficult time. Of course, more headlines of the largest massacre in U.S. history. Of course, the rebuttals to that online have certainly been, what about Wounded Knee, where the U.S. government in 1890 mass murdered 250 Native American Indians. Let's not forget that. There's so many things now that when something like this happens that we can't forget, that we have to remember, that we need to consider also, you know, and the bottom line is, folks, that we're killing each other. Why are we doing that? Why are we killing each other? Why are we hurting each other? Why are we hating each other? This is the only chance we get at life. This is the only planet we live on. We're not going to get a spaceship and hop off to a planet that's just discovered and start a new colony there. We're not going to get that opportunity. Maybe 100 years from now, that's a thing. But you know what? We're all dead in 100 years. some of us, if we keep behaving the way we're behaving, we'll be dead long before 100 years because people are killing each other. I can't grasp it. I can't get my head around that. I can't close my eyes and imagine walking into a club and hearing dozens of cell phones beeping with text messages and ringing with phone calls from loved ones wondering if I'm alive because I was at a club where someone went there with a weapon and opened fire. My eyes are closed right now. I can't even go there. I don't know what it's going to take for us to pull out of this, folks. I really don't. It's really, really bad, though. Recently this week, while trying to process this, I was reading a lovely post from an acquaintance of mine, a musicianeer from Cape Breton named J.P. Cormier. Maybe you want to go to his Facebook page right now and read the post and listen to the song Brothers that he and the great Dave Gunning wrote and recorded about this very incident. One line in JP's lengthy post summed it up for me. We have forgotten how to love each other. If you've listened to this show before, you know at the end of the show, I try my hardest to send a positive message. I try hard to get us to be conscious of one another and how our actions affect each other. We need to be more conscious of this, folks. We need to learn how to love each other. I can't stress enough what a dangerous situation this is that we're all in. We're all in. Not just Muslims, not just gay people, not just black people, not just white people, not just add your whatever adjective to insinuate separate here. We're all in this. When somebody takes it upon themselves to hate somebody else enough to kill them, that affects all of us. If that doesn't affect you personally, you have a problem and you need to see a doctor. That's not a joke. That's for real. Because people who are unsettled enough to take it upon themselves to kill other people randomly because they're different than they are, need help. It's not about solely about weapons being available. It's not solely about differences. It's not solely about mental issues. It's not solely about education or miseducation. It's little pieces of all of these things, folks. We need to get it together. We need to learn how to love each other. Differences, similarities, all of that. It doesn't matter if I'm different than you are. It doesn't matter if you're different than I am. We need to coexist. I know many of us are only doing the best we can and we're just trying to figure it out. But we need to work harder at it. Instead of talking about how crazy that other person is or the other side is for doing this or thinking that, maybe let's just think about positive things to say instead. I'm not saying avoid the issue. I'm saying own up to your own shortcomings. I own mine. I grew up in a small town. For years I lived with things that were racist, misogynistic, homophobic, that I didn't know affected other people negatively. It didn't occur to me. But it occurs to me now, and now I try every day to avoid those things, to be a better human, to grow, to transcend my limitations, to learn how to love regardless of difference. That's what I'm trying to do. Please, please, people, try and do the same. We'll see you next week for another episode. I'm Ross Nielsen. I wish you peace. I wish you love.
Fight is holy, I'm a Gideon.